God is good, and all the time. Seeing Pastor Gabe put a smile on my face, he's such an amazing example to us all in the line of faith and in the journey of growing to what God wants us to be. Amen. In the midst of everything that is happening, it's very important to give thanks to the Lord. Amen. I just want us to sing a song before. That is why he's here. I told him to play down there, but he decided to come up here. I don't know why. So we're just going to sing a song shortly. Then, thank you, Jesus. Wherever you are, just set your mind on the Lord. Set your mind on the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Set your mind on the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart, with a grateful. Give thanks, give thanks to the Holy One, to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
Hallelujah. So today's sermon, it's more very applicative. We are going to look at a more applicative aspect of preachings in the light of our walk with the Father. Amen. And I would really crave your indulgence. Don't sleep as you used to. I know sometimes when I preach, people sleep, but don't sleep. Try as much as possible to keep your eyes open. If you are too tired, you can go and stand at the back. I don't mean that Joel is standing at the back because he's sleeping. I'm just saying if you are too tired, you can go stand at the back and open your eyes. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We bless your name for this wonderful time we're about to have. Father, there is no time like this than to be in your presence. Father, there is no time like this than to be in your word. Father, we bless your name for the opportunity to sit together, even in worship. Your word says we should not forsake the gathering of the saints. And even as we gather like this, oh God, there is an ignition. There is an ignition of every promise. Every promise with reference to the unity of the saints. In Psalm 133, your word makes us understand how lovely and amazing it is for brethren to dwell in unity and in love. In the midst of our togetherness, Father, you command a blessing. In the midst of our togetherness, Father, you release a blessing like the dew upon Mount Hermon. Father, in the midst of our togetherness, there is a release of oil. There is a release of oil of joy. There is a release of oil of healing. There is a release of oil of breakthrough. Even as I speak, even as we listen, even as we fellowship, every pain is going away. Everything that was causing people to stay awake through night is being taken care of. We believe in your promise of togetherness, and we welcome your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes, O Father, and let your word be exalted mightily over us. Amen. If you are saying amen to the prayer, just wave your hand in agreement. You can wave. If you are not waving your hand, it means you are not saying amen. Hallelujah. God is good. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us, give thanks. Okay, so the theme for today is, why do we preach Christ? Why do we preach Christ? Why do we have Bible studies? Why do we do all the things in church and we point at Jesus Christ? Amen. I think it's very important to understand that the essence of the church is to build up. Amen. The essence of the church is to build up. So if anybody walks through that door into the church, it means the person wants to be better. Amen. The person wants to be a better version of themselves. Amen. So I always say, people come to me, Brother Perry, I don't know why this person in the church did this to me. And the last time I was sitting with Yako, and Yako said this thing. No, I'm just using him as an example. I was sitting with Yako, and Yako told me to come clean his house. Why did he say that? Yeah, but he said that one. So all I'm saying is, when people step on your toes in the church, don't be surprised, because everybody in the church is here because they want to get better. We are not perfected. I ain't perfect. Let me tell you the truth. I'm not there when it comes to my prayer life, when it comes to the study of God's word, when it comes to showing I am striving, I'm moving. Spiritually, God has perfected me. But when it comes to the physicalities, when it comes to manifesting, I'm still on a journey. And in church, every single person is on a journey. So look to your left, look to your right, and look at someone on a journey. That person you are seeing on your left, on your right, is on a journey. So don't expect, it's good. When people in the church are living a certain standard of life, it's a blessing. But if they fall short, be gracious. Amen. Be gracious and understand. That is why we preach. Every preacher here comes to edify the saints to live more like Christ. Every Bible study you attend is for you to get closer to the image of Christ. Amen. If you are with me, wave your hand. Amen. Oh, I'm feeling you. Yeah, wave your hand. Amen. Every single thing about the church is to get you looking more like Christ. Amen. So, let's read Ephesians. Good. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 15. If you have your Bible here, you can take your Bible. If your Bible is on your phone, you can raise your Bible with me. If your Bible is a hard copy, it's amazing. You can raise it up with me. So raise your Bible. I admonish everybody, when you're coming to church, you should come with a Bible so that you can read and follow. It's amazing. So repeat after me. You can decide not to say it out loud. You can say it in your heart. Repeat after me. The Word of God speaks to me. The Word of God reveals who I am. The Word of God is my identity. The Word of God is Christ. Amen. So let's read together. Let's read together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 15. Are you with me? So I'm going to start reading, and I want you to follow. Follow me. So verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. I nearly said teachers. The teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ. So Rob is a preacher. In whichever capacity he ministers, his prime duty is to make sure that you and I, after his preaching, are looking more like Christ. That is what the Bible is saying, isn't it? Verse 13, it says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Come on here. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The target is Jesus Christ. Amen. Wherever you are, say, my end point is Jesus Christ. The person I'm striving to be is more like Jesus. Amen. Now let's continue. And it says, so that we may no longer be children. Oh my. Some people have been in church for the last 20 years and they are still children. There was a time I went to a church and I was preaching and I saw an old man who was wearing a white dress, and spiritually in my eye, it was like a baby. So he came to me and said, I have been in the church for a long time and I've not been seeing anything happening in my life. It's because spiritually you were a baby. Your number of Sundays don't correlate to your maturity. I repeat, the fact that you've been here since the beginning of XICF does not mean that you are matured. The ability to attain the measure of Christ shows your maturity. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's continue. And it says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Every single thing that comes, you are following. That is not the way God wants you to be. God wants you to be focused. Someone say focus. Someone say, I am focused. You can decide to say it with your mouth or you can say it in your heart, whichever way. Say, I am focused. Amen. And it says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. And the final verse, verse 15, it says, rather speaking the truth in love. Sometimes it's difficult to speak the truth, but speak the truth. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. The end point is Christ. The end point is Christ. Someone will ask, why Christ? Why Christ? You came from heaven to the earth to show the way. From the earth, Lord, to the cross, my debt you paid. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Thank you, Jesus. You came from heaven to earth to show
from the earth to the cross. My debt you paid, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. One more time. You came from heaven to the earth to show the way I should live, God. From the earth to the cross, He bore my death, my pain, my sickness. You bore, Lord, from the cross to the grave, and in the grave you rose up again. From the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift. The reason why Christ is the standard is because Christ is the only one that died for you and I. The reason why Christ is the standard is because Christ is the only one that lived an impeccable life. The reason why Christ is the standard is because He is the only one that can save you now, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. So to what effect? To what effect? Studying the Bible, reading the Bible, being in prayer, going to Bible studies, speaking to one another in love. When you meet someone, sharing scripture together, you go to work. Before you begin the work time, you literally share the gospel with your workers. You are in the family. You are a family man. You are the head of the family. The head of the family doesn't mean you need to step on the family. The head of the family being a man means you are a father, you are a husband, and you are a priest. Your understanding of the priesthood, being able to impact your children, just like God spoke about Abraham. For Abraham is an amazing man because I know he's able to build his whole household according to my statute. So will I do anything without speaking to Abraham? Amen. Why Christ? That in the midst of your falling nature, He will redeem you. Someone told me, Perry, I'm always ready for you to lead us through a sinner's prayer when you come to preach. Because I know it's important. Someone might come here once and would not have the opportunity to come again. So for me, I've made it a point. Every single time I stand up here, I'm going to give someone the opportunity to meet Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10 verse 9. It says, this is the way to be saved, that you shall believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ came to die resurrected, and He is your Lord and personal Savior. Amen. So in that stance, I'm going to do it again right now. If you have never, ever, and if you have done it once, enough. God is able to redeem you to the uttermost once you declare. If you have done it once, enough. But if you haven't ever made that declaration that Jesus Christ is your Lord and personal Savior, just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I bless your name for your word that has come to me today. I pray, oh God, that today your Son Jesus comes to dwell in my heart. And that in my heart, He will exercise His lordship and capacity to save me. I believe and I give myself to you. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Oh boy, if you said this prayer, oh boy, in heaven right now, oh boy, there is a party going on in heaven. The Bible says there is joy in heaven when one person gives his soul to Jesus Christ. But giving your soul to Jesus Christ is just the beginning. There is a journey. If you can speak, if you want to speak, say, there is a journey. There is a journey. The journey of maturity begins with a salvation prayer, but more goes to it. There is a need for discipline. There is a need for understanding. And what is the basis of this? The basis of this, in the light of accepting Jesus and moving in that journey, The whole end to what we do is to build all believers into Christ by way of one spiritual fullness. Spiritual fullness. What's a spiritual fullness? Spiritual fullness is having full understanding of who Christ has made you. Christ has made you a king, a priest. Christ has made you a prophet. Christ has ordained you unto the nations. Christ has made you salt and light. So by the preaching, we build your spirit man into the place of understanding your identity. Your identity is not who your friends say you are. Your identity is not who you think you are. Your identity is who the word says you are. Come on now. Come on now. Your identity is who the Bible says you are. Your identity is not where you are coming from. Your identity is not about your hometown. Your identity is not about your family. Your identity is based on who Christ says you are. Christ says you are a new creation. The old is gone. Any cultural principle that rises against the standard of Christ, you rebuke. Any cultural principle that rises against the standard of Christ, you rebuke. Your standard, the very moment you become a son of Christ, a daughter of Christ, is literally the word of God. So the first pointing out is spiritual fullness, where you become born again and you understand your identity in Christ and the word becomes your standard. The second aspect of it is the character formation. Come on now, look at someone, tell the person, how is your character? If you can speak. But if you can't speak, just look at someone and with the eyes, go like this, like, how is your character? Look at someone, be like, how is your character? You can, if you can't speak, just look at the person. How is your character? Are you still an anger maniac? When you get annoyed, you are throwing things about. Are you still a gambler? You don't know how to save money. Are you still that person who beats women? Ooh. I'm hitting it. Are you still that little boy who is stealing? The very moment you step into Jesus Christ, there needs to be a change. Because whoever encounters Christ is free and free indeed. Are you still that person who stands and hides and is addicted to pornography? There needs to be a change. 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 The reign of God. In your classroom, make sure you establish the reign of God. You feel me? If you feel me, say, I feel you. Yeah. If you ain't feeling me, the angels are feeling me. So, the truth is, in your family, you need to make sure God is the standard. Amen. You don't do things to appease your friends. So because of your girlfriend, hey girl, what you doing? You feel like praying, but your girls come to you like, let's go out for chilling. And you are like, oh, okay, because you don't want to make them look bad. If they come to you, tell them, hey, I'm going to pray. I'm going to cabe. I'm going to read my Bible. I have no time for the mall. When they come to you in your room and you feel like they are moving into your space, there is that one friend of yours, when he comes to you and is dragging you back, but you know he is the reason why you ain't moving forward, then you need to tell him, hey, watch out, because I am a son of God and my standard is now the Lord. Whatever I do must please the Lord. Sometimes the best response is a no. Some people don't know how to say no. Wherever you are, I pray for you right now. May the Lord open your mouth to be able to say no. Amen. Say no. If when they come, say no. So make sure Christ is your standard. Establish the reign of Christ in your family, in your relationship. So he's your boyfriend, so what? And ladies, if a guy comes to you and tells you, if you love me, let's do this. No. Immorality is against the standard of the Lord. So if the Lord is your standard, keep it that way. You feel me? Literally, if your friends are leading you to say, it's called marijuana, it's going to take you to heaven. You're going to be closer to God. So just take a sip. Say no. Christ must be your standard among your friends. Christ must be your standard in your family. A family that prays stays together. What did I say? A family that prays stays together. If you ain't praying, you have your door open to the devil. And trust me, that guy knows how to make a party of a prayerless Christian. He is going to wreck your home. He is going to cause you to cry. He is going to cause you to feel miserable. A praying Christian is a living Christian. Because when you pray, you establish what the Lord is saying concerning your family. When you pray, you establish what the Lord is saying concerning your child. I had a prayerful mother. I had a prayerful mother. She was too prayerful for my liking. She was too prayerful and prophetic. It was even so bad. Sometimes I would be in the senior high school. I want to go out to the club. And as soon as I'm all dressed, about to step up, I hear my mother shouting, get back. And I turn back. Sometimes I steal money. I steal money and hide it in the strangest of places. And as I'm going, my mother calls me and asks me, hey, what do you have in your panty? And I'm like, how did you even know? Your ability to pray over your children is your greatest gift to your children. Because you will not be there every single time of their life. There were times I would wake up when I was not born again. I would wake up and my mom would be sitting on the bed and her hand would be on my head and praying. And I'd be like, oh God, where did I go wrong with end up with this mom? But every single prayer I'm seeing unfold in my life. Establish God in your family. Establish God in your business. When you are drafting your business policy for the year, how hard do you pray? Sometimes you are looking. You know, my wife sometimes comes to me. My wife she wants to do a lot of stuff. She comes to me and I'm very strange. And I thank God so much for her life. She comes to me, darling, I've seen this, I'm seeing this, and I want us to do this. I'm like, no, we are not doing that. Let's just give the money out, baby. It's like, but we can get them. Like, no. If I don't have the conviction to do it, I don't do it. When I said Christ was my Lord, I didn't mean God was my Lord on Sundays. He is my Lord even when I'm picking courses for the law school. He is my Lord even when I'm choosing places where I want to even go and do my postdoctorate. If he's your Lord, he's not the Lord only on Sundays. He's the Lord. He's your Lord on Monday. Amen. He's your Lord on Tuesday. He's your Lord on Wednesday. He's your Lord on Thursday. He is your Lord every day. He's your Lord in the business place. I saw a man. He worth almost he's worth almost 34 billion Ghana cedis. He's worth almost 34 billion Ghana cedis in Ghana. And he said, I started making money when I gave tithe continuously. Acknowledging that the Lord is your Lord over your business. Tithing on behalf of your business comes even with its own release of blessings. Amen. Hallelujah. Now moving to prayer, even as I end, I want to share with you 7 prayer points that the Lord taught me, and I've been praying continuously. I try as much as possible to pray it and read it over my life as much as I can. Amen. And I want you to do same. Amen. I want you to do same. So there are prayers that are within the Pauline letters. Amen. There are prayers within the Pauline letters. The best form of prayer is praying directly by the word. Amen. The Lord is such a man that when you present his word to him, he has no other way than to say yea and amen. So he says, in Christ, my promises to you are yea and amen. Because the promises of the Lord are his word. And in the Psalms he says, I have exalted my word above my personality. It means that in every stream of his decision, if you recount his word to him, he has no other option than to say, you got me right there. Amen. So you have to learn how to pray by the word. And the first one I'm going to read out is Galatians. Galatians chapter 4 verse 19. Galatians chapter 4 verse 19. Mothers, this is one key you have. Fathers, this is one key you have for your children. Mothers, fathers, this is one key you have for your children. He says, woo! Galatians 4:19. My little children, my Oma, for whom I am again in anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. So when you lay hands on your child, you declare, Talita, my child, I declare Christ is formed in you in Jesus' name. Hey, declare it as many times. Declare it as many times and you will see. You will see it happening. Amen. The next scripture, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 to 19. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 to 19. And it says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Woo. You feel you need wisdom in business. You feel you need wisdom in school. This is a prayer for you. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him, having your eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might? As a believer, if you want your eyes to be enlightened as to your inheritance, this is a prayer for you. There is a spiritual standard. There is a spiritual standard. I feel the glory, Lord. There's a spiritual standard. Wherever I go, there is healing. Wherever I go, there is power. Wherever I go, there is joy. That is your standard. This prayer will open your realities to who Christ has made you. Wherever I stand, there is productivity. Wherever I go, there is calm. The more you keep praying it, the more it comes alive in your life. So you stand in the morning. I like to do it when I'm in the bathroom. I declare the eyes of my understanding is opened. I declare my eyes are enlightened. My heart is opened to the dimension of Christ. You see as God sees. Declare it over your family. declare it over. Yesterday night, as I was praying, I just touched the wall and I said, let no bad news enter this house. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is your dimension. Amen. That was from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 19. Now let's go to the third scripture. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 19. It says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of the glory he may grant to you to be strengthened the power through his Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the height, what is the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasseth all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How many of you sometimes in the week you feel weak? I just rhymed. Sometimes in the week you feel weak. Let me see your hand. Sometimes for no reason you feel like you can't continue. Sometimes you just want to stop work and just go home. Ah, enough. Enough of this work. It's not even... Sometimes you are a teacher and you look at the kids and you are like, my, oh my, there's a demon in this child. And you just want to stop and just go home. This is your scripture. He says that you will be strengthened from your inner man. So when you feel down, you take the scripture and you declare it over your life. Sometimes you don't need to be in an atmosphere of prayer, even when you are sitting on the potty. Oh my, oh my. That place in my house is powerful. Oh Lord, Shadosha. When you are even in the bus, and there is someone sitting beside you trying to open up the leg, instead of going into that leg battle, how many of you have had that leg battle in the bus? When you want to open your leg, instead of doing that, spend time reading this and declare, Father, strength from the inside. And from the scripture, we understand that strength is dependent on your knowledge of love. So the more you declare it, the more strength is released over you. Someone say amen. Now let's go to the fourth one. The fourth one is from Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. And it says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. You feel like anger is getting the best of you. You feel like people in your home are pushing you to the limit. If you want your love to abound more and more, even to your enemies, this for you right there. This is for you right there. This is for you right there. It says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So literally, if you're a businessman and you want to be discerning to know the kind of business contract you should have, this is a prayer for you. Because the more you pray this, the more you discern. Remember we said, to the point of preaching, to the point of Bible study, to the point of prayer, we want to increase the spiritual fullness of Christ in you. That you will be more of a spirit being. You don't take decisions based on the flesh. Amen. Let's go to the fifth one. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 to 11. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 to 11. And it says, and so from the day we heard. If you want to pray for your friend, if you want to pray for your brother, it's a good point. From the day you heard about their situation. From the day you read about their situation, what did you do? If you are not going to pray for me, don't say, oh, brother, I'm going to pray for you. I don't like that. If you are not going to pray for someone, don't say, brother, I'm praying for you. And you go home and go and eat your fun. No, don't do that. If you are going to pray for me, say I'm praying for you, then yes, you pray. But if you are not going to pray, don't say it. You feel me? Amen. So he says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Sometimes you get to a point in your life, you don't know what to do. You don't know which road to take. This is for you. You read it over and say, Father, lead me into full understanding of your will. Lead me to full understanding of where to go. This is for you. This is for you. Amen. And he says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance, patient with joy. Now let's go to the sixth one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 11 to 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 11 to 12. He says, to this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling. If you ever want to pray for me, pray this for me, please. If you ever want to pray, if you remember me in your day and you want to pray for me, this is a good point you can pray for me. That God will literally make me worthy of his calling. I want to be an evangelist. I want to preach all over. But this is a good prayer for me. Amen. For my family and I. Amen. So he says, to this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you are starting a ministry, like now Jacob, who is now the small group leader, this is a very good prayer, that the Lord will cause you to abound for his glory concerning your ministry. Amen. And the final one, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 to 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 to 2. And it says, First of all, then I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful life and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. I pray for the president of this land a lot because of this scripture. I pray for the president of my country a lot because of this scripture. Because the Bible admonishes us to pray for our leaders. You have a boss who is pushing you too much. Sometimes the reason why we are not seeing blessings in our offices when we are working under a boss is because we talk more about the boss than we pray for the boss. Are you feeling me? Sometimes we talk more about our boss than we pray for our boss. Amen. It's very important to build a prayer life for people in leadership, that you will abound and live a peaceful life. So, in summary, today all I came to tell you was to explain to you why we do what we do, why we preach, why there's a Bible study team, why there's prayer before church service begins. Everything is to point you to Christ, that you may mature in Christ. That should be your target. That should be your desire, to grow and be like Christ, to grow into full maturity, to grow into the wisdom of Christ. Amen. I want to be like you, Lord, in every way. I want to be like you, Lord, when I see you. I want to be like you, Lord, when people see me, let them say, oh, this guy, he talks like Christ. I want to be like you, Lord. 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 Let's close our eyes and say a word of prayer. here and you realize you are struggling in your journey. There are stumbling blocks in your journey. There are stumbling blocks in your journey. And you want to say, Father, help me. To pray for you now. Speak to the Father. You want to commit your way to Him. And you want to say, Father, into your hands I commit my way. I commit my life. Have your way. I want to be more like you. Grant me grace. Grant me grace. Grant me grace. Wherever you are, receive grace in Jesus' mighty name. Wherever you are, receive grace in Jesus' mighty name. Wherever you are, receive grace in Jesus' mighty name. Wherever you are, receive grace in Jesus' mighty name. I declare a turnaround in Jesus' mighty name. Any condition of frustration, I declare a turnaround in Jesus' mighty name. Any condition, I'm seeing a couple that is arguing. I'm seeing a couple that is arguing. I'm speaking calm into your marriage now. I'm speaking calm into your marriage now. I'm speaking calm into your marriage now. A spirit of church is a good way. You'll be surprised at what God would do with that mind if you walk through that door. The person might just be preaching to you next Sunday. Amen. Just by the way. So please, let's rise up. Let's rise up for the benediction. The Lord keep you. The Lord bless you. The Lord establishes you to us. And wash you to our bound mighty. May His countenance shine upon you. ICF, you are dismissed. Please, let's take note of the protocol. Let's not all rush out so we can go out in bits. Thank you so much. God bless you.